When you think of gay people in Syria, the first image that often springs to mind is a horrific one. That of militant groups such as Islamic State publicly executing suspected homosexuals. But photojournalist Bradley Secker wanted to show the fuller picture of the lives of LGBT Syrians who fled to Istanbul, where he's based. His latest feature series is titled Mr. Gay Syria, and it centres on a group of five young men taking part in a contest to find a Syrian representative to send on to the Mr. Gay World competition, which was held in Malta. In the end, a hairdresser named Hussein Sabat was crowned Mr. Gay Syria, but couldn't travel to Mr. Gay World. The contest organiser, Mahmoud Hassino, went on his behalf. Photographer Bradley followed the competition and the community surrounding it through all the ups and downs, and I began by asking him to share three of his favourite snapshots.
The first one I'd like to start with is from the Istanbul Pride last year, which ended up being cancelled and banned by the governor. But before that happened, there was a moment in Taksim Square, which is in central Istanbul, where a group which recently formed called LGBT Arabim, which is a sort of pan-Arabic group of Arabic-speaking group of LGBT activists and refugees and asylum seekers here in Istanbul, all had placards in Arabic, waving pride flags, most of them wearing masks. But that image for me is quite a powerful one because it's the first time a lot of those guys were at a pride in their lives, and it meant a lot because of the heavy amount of Saudi and other Arab tourists in Istanbul, for them to read the signs in Arabic and say, yes, you know, we are Arab, we're gay, we exist, what's the problem, get over it type thing. So I think that's got a special significance. And the fact that they're also having to hide their identity, most of them, it says a lot about the situation here in Istanbul. Even though they're not in their home country, they still, you know, retain some sort of level of fear and anxiety about being exposed. My second favorite from the latest series is an image of two guys called Omar and Nader, one who just was resettled to Norway. That was Nader. Omar is still in Istanbul, Turkey, waiting for his resettlement application to be processed. So the image is of a night, which was Omar's birthday, which Nader told me beforehand he was going to propose to Omar. So the moment was building up. He had absolutely no idea. And then suddenly he got down on one knee. There was a video screen of different images of their relationship playing on. And he got a ring out and proposed, and Omar said yes. It captures that moment. It means a lot for them as a couple. They're not legally allowed to get married in Turkey or in Syria, their home country. They would be allowed to have a civil partnership in Norway. And the point is that if they were heterosexual and a heterosexual couple, and they were to have a marriage or a partnership, a legal partnership in Turkey, their cases for resettlement would have been attached to each other, and they could have ended up going together to Norway instead of now having a long-distance relationship and the complete uncertainty that Omar has about maybe or maybe not being resettled to Norway and reunited with his fiancée. The third image I think that has a lot of power is the final one on the spread I have on my website of Mr. Gay Syria. It's in a hotel room in Malta where Mr. Gay World was held this year, and it's the sash of Mr. Gay Syria. Everyone's wearing a blue sash with Mr. Gay, you know, and their country name. So this is a Mr. Gay Syria sash just hung over a chair in a hotel room, an empty hotel room, looking out at night over the coastline of Malta. So the story behind that basically is that Mr. Gay Syria this year, the candidate for Mr. Gay World, was not able to attend Mr. Gay World because he didn't get a visa. So the organizer instead went to represent both Hussein, Mr. Gay Syria, and Syria, and discuss all the points and issues to do with being gay and Syrian and being a refugee and being somebody from a conflict zone. It's a very lonely image, a very peaceful image, and it's a nice way to end the series for me. It says a lot.
You're listening to DW's WorldLink, bringing you the personal stories behind the headlines. And we're speaking with Bradley Secker, a photojournalist based in Istanbul, who's been documenting the lives of LGBT refugees and asylum seekers for the past 6 years, starting in Syria.
It was an idea of mine after reading a lot of stories about gay killings and homophobic murder, basically, in Iraq, during the instability brought over by the by the conflict in Iraq. A lot of those gay men then fled to neighboring countries, including Syria. So I went to Damascus in 2010 and documented the reality of the lives of those gay Iraqi men. There was something like 15 of them, to sort of portray and tell the stories of those guys and what they were running away from, how their life was in Damascus in Syria, what rights they had as gay people and as refugees from Iraq in Syria.
Fast forward a few years and Syria is at war. Millions have fled. Bradley says being a refugee or an asylum seeker is first and foremost, as he puts it, a very delicate predicament to be in.
But I think also to be a gay, ostracized person from your community in that situation is even more, you know, risky, dangerous. And often what I found out is with the Iraqis, the Iranians, and also now with the Syrians, being an LGBT asylum seeker also means that you're mostly ostracized from the other refugee diaspora that you have, you know, from your own country in the host country or the temporary holding country. Over the last 4.5 years that I've been based in Turkey, it's interesting to see how attitudes have changed, because the Syrian refugee diaspora didn't really exist, you know, when I first moved here. And with the Turkish LGBT community and gay community, first, you know, Syrians were more accepted. And then when the number became quite a lot, there was some kind of animosity against them. And now the clubs, you know, you're hearing a lot of Arabic from all over the region, different accents, different nationalities in the gay clubs in Istanbul. And there is somehow some level of resentment against this huge amount of LGBT refugees. At the same time, there's also a lot of great things being done by Turkish LGBT organizations and individual activists to incorporate and deal with the issues that LGBT refugees are facing. They're providing a lot of support, a lot of awareness issues, information about their legal rights. But the wider societal context, I think Turkey's somehow become a little bit more restrictive in that sense. And if you're a gay refugee or an LGBT refugee living in Istanbul, the city is limited for you. You have certain areas basically where you can go. You have certain areas where you can drink and party. It's still somehow restricted, yeah. As a gay man myself, I can integrate with the LGBT refugee community somehow easier than other photographers and other journalists might be able to do. There's an instant level of trust because they see that, you know, under the big umbrella of being LGBT, everybody faces the same struggles. Whether it's me in the UK growing up, or them in Syria, or them in Turkey, everybody has to sort of fight against the system in that way to be who you are. But yeah, the situation for me personally is very different. I've chosen to be here. They haven't. They're stuck here. I have more legal rights. They are kind of guests in Turkey. And if there's an attack, which there are often many homophobic or anti-Syrian attacks against these guys, they don't really have many legal grounds, legal places to go. And the police might not take them seriously. The authorities might not chase up the hate crime. Whereas for me, I think it would be treated a little bit differently.
We've read the headlines about militants from extremist groups like Islamic State executing people accused of being gay. I asked Bradley how much the people he's photographed and come to know over the Mr. Gay Syria competition opened up to him about what they escaped from.
Particularly with the Syrian LGBT refugees, a lot of them don't talk that much about what the life was like before they left. It's not that they won't maybe want to forget, but it's just that they want to live for the present moment and want to think about the future and their options and also their life now. Hussein, for example, Mr. Gay Syria, one of his ex-boyfriends, not at the time, but he ended up being killed by ISIS. So these things, of course, exist and they play on people's minds. And yeah, the focus at this point seems to be very much about the present and the future. And that's what I've tried to represent with Mr. Gay Syria. It's supposed to be steering away from those, you know, victimizing images of ISIS throwing people off buildings. More about, yes, gay Syrians exist. Yes, we are proud. Yes, we are, you know, together. We have a life. We're trying to make something of it and trying to have our voices heard. You know, as Hussein said, we're more than just bodies thrown off rooftops.